Father, we thank you. We give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we receive of your spirit as we gather here this evening. Lord, understanding is coming to us in the name of Jesus. We ask that you speak a word that will enlighten each person and set the person in the right direction. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Can we just declare these words after me as, before we sit down? Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of it, I'm walking in the manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say, this evening, the word of the Lord is coming to me. It will enter my heart. It will give me light and direction. It will heal me in every area. And it will make me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Please, before you sit down, can you just go around, greet 3-4 people. Tell them you are welcome to this weekend, these 2 days of studying the Word of God. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I want to welcome everybody. So nice to see all of you. Just 2 days. Today we won't take too much time for a number of reasons. So I'll just teach for about an hour and then we'll be gone. Then tomorrow we'll be back. We can take more time tomorrow. So please, I want to encourage you to be around on time tomorrow because also we have to finish on time and go back to Enugu. But we'll be able to take some more time and I can answer questions, practical questions, to be able to help the people of God, you know, get some things right. So you saw the adverts. This is Kingdom Word Ministries. The aim we have for all of this is to, Paul says something, I desire to come so I might impart a spiritual gift to you. Do you understand? Now, what's a spiritual gift? Now, listen to this. A spiritual gift, Paul was saying, is spiritual endowment. That is, the ability introduced into your life. A spiritual gift works like this. For example, let us assume I'm very shy. Okay? I can't stand in front of people to speak. Then one day, a spiritual gift of boldness comes into my life. I find speaking in front of people easy. You understand? I easily speak in front of people. Let's take another example in that area. The man like Jeremiah. When God came to him, what did Jeremiah say? He said, I cannot speak because I am a youth. And God said, don't say I am a youth. Now, along the line, he said, he touched my tongue. You understand? What was he saying there? God impacted to him at that point a spiritual gift. Now, what am I trying to say? What we are trying to do, if you see, this program is titled Overcomer Spirit. I can assure you of one thing. People generally, I see it around, they have a loser spirit. Now, they don't try to lose. It's just part of it, them. And now something led to it. You can't just make up your mind and say, I will not have that spirit anymore. Either you have it or you don't have it. Either you have the overcomer spirit or you don't have the overcomer spirit. Paul now said to the Romans, he said, I want to come to Rome. Okay, let me put it like this. I desire to come to Abakiliki to impart a spiritual gift to you. Which means that by the time Paul was saying, I will have visited you, I will have spoken to you, you will discover that you are no longer having a loser spirit. Now you now have an overcomer spirit. Now, an overcomer spirit is not just an attitude. It will produce an attitude, but it's not just an attitude. Spiritual forces are like, you know, I don't know how many of us are used to science things. If I put a piece of maybe white or black magnet, and I put another stuff that looks like it, but it's not magnet, and I put the two of them side by side. Now, listen to this. The fact that I say it's magnet, okay, is not just a name. If you want to know whether it has something around it or not, just bring pin around it. The pin will be attracted to it. Are you getting my point? Now, if you remember physics, basic secondary school science, if I put a wire coil, and I move it over it, and I attach that coil to a bulb, the bulb will light up. If I attach it to a gauge, the gauge will move just by me moving a wire coil up and down in front of the magnet. Now, What that magnet has is what you call a spirit. Now, I hope you're getting my point. It affects things around you. If you have an overcomer spirit, it affects doors that open to you. It affects how life responds to you. It affects whether you will catch a disease or you won't catch a disease. Please, I want you to understand that. It affects whether you will understand what you are studying or you will not understand what you are studying. The spirit inside you affects things around you. It will affect whether they will open a gate for you or they won't open a gate for you. So when we're talking about having a spirit, it's not just having an attitude. People think that attitude is all there is to life. Everything just about attitude. It's not about attitude. The man with the right spirit. Now listen, a right spirit will produce a right attitude. Are you getting my point? It will. Now, beyond producing a right attitude, because attitude, you need to see the person. He needs to talk. He needs to move for the attitude to work. Attitude does not affect whether you catch a disease or you don't catch a disease. Attitude does not decide whether somebody will knock on your door and offer you something or it doesn't. Now, but the right spirit has all of these things. The right spirit, whether I'm talking or I'm not talking, if I have the right spirit, it will decide what is attracted to me and what is not attracted to me. Please follow my point. It will decide what is attracted to me and what is not attracted to me. It will decide what I repel. Now, that was why Paul said, I desire to come and impart a spiritual gift to you. What Paul was saying is that if I'm done with you, there are things you couldn't do before. When I will have left, you will be able to do them. Are you getting my point? Now, you see one of the things that God said concerning a man like Bezalel and Oholiab. God said about Bezalel, I have put in him the spirit of the craftsman, the spirit of God. The first person the Bible said he filled with the spirit in the Bible. God put a spirit in him. And he was not a preacher. His idea, the idea about Bezalel was that he could make artistic designs. He now said that not only could he do that, you are going to gather people around him. And if they interacted with Bezalel, now this way we look at it humanly is this. He will teach. Yes, he's teaching. But what is he teaching about? It's not just to teach, do this, do this, do that. If you hang around him, that spirit falls upon you. This spirit makes learning easy. So if somebody hangs around Bezalel, beyond teaching, Bezalel gives you the ability to understand. How? Just hanging around him. Just hanging around him. Have you ever heard this thing before? Now, this is interesting. I just feel like explaining this. Have you ever heard people say that, people used to come to me those days. I've not heard it in a long time. Maybe the teaching was popular at the time. They said they want to pour water on my hand so they can tap an anointing. And what some of them mean is this. I will give you an offering and they will tap an anointing. Now, giving to a preacher, is it good? Believe me, I'll be the last person to say it's not good. Because if you want to know whether I enjoy it or not, just try. Just give me 200,000 naira. If I cry, don't do it again. So I'm not saying it's bad, okay? It's good. But when we say it oftentimes, we are misunderstanding what the Bible meant when it said Elisha used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. We think because he served Elijah, God was compelled to give an anointing to him. But that was not the issue. What happened was that by hanging around Elijah, do you follow my point? It was not the fact that he was pouring water. It was that if he poured that water from a distance, it wouldn't work. If Elijah was on the other side and he was shooting the water accurately, it wouldn't work. The point was that by hanging around Elijah, when Elijah would speak, he would listen. Just by hanging around him, something was moving into the man. That one prepared him to be able to receive that double portion of anointing when it came. Because if double portion of anointing comes upon people, it can kill some people. When the anointing hit Saul, it began. Look, normal prophets, prepared prophets, when anointing hits them, they don't misbehave. The anointing will hit them, nothing happens. They just get up. Thus says the Lord, it shall come to pass. But when your name is Saul, you are not prepared for the anointing. You hang around the prophets prophesy. When it falls upon you, start dancing, start falling all over the place. You suffer. Why? You're not prepared for it. In fact, now I've never taught this. Let me just explain it. I read something long ago. Have you ever heard that the Holy Spirit came on Jesus like a dove? Now, you know, the way we depict it all the time, that the Holy Spirit came down like Adaba, bird. And the bird came and landed on Jesus, and they saw the Jesus. One man said something long ago. I've been researching on it. I've not been able to prove him wrong, but I've not been able to 100% say he's right. But there's something about it. He said that what he thinks is not that the Holy Spirit came shaped like a dove. He had a manifestation they could see. There's no doubt about that, because we saw coming like fire. So maybe it came like fire. Maybe it came like a ball of lightning, whatever it is. He said, but he rested on him like a dove. He said, what that means is this. When he came on Jesus, that level of anointing, nobody around noticed. Only those who saw the Holy Spirit. That Jesus was so prepared, he swallowed it, got up, and walked away like nothing happened. The average person will have fallen down under the power. The earth below him will form the shape of a human being as he buries inside it. They will dig him out. They say, what happened? Holy Spirit came. Pah! They will start you know the way it happened. They now say, oh, it's an anointing. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. He said, when he came on Jesus, it was like a dove. It was so gentle. Why? Because Jesus was able to receive it. So he swallowed the Spirit without measure, and he did not shake. He was baptized nicely. He came out of the water. The Spirit came upon him with the heaviest anointing the earth had ever seen. Heavier than what Moses had. Heavier than what Jonah had. Heavier than what Samuel had. Heavier than what everybody before him, including John the Baptist, had. When he fell on John the Baptist, he was walking half naked. When he fell on Jesus, he walked normally like nothing happened. What am I saying? That kind of Spirit came into Elisha, prepared him to receive a double portion of Elijah's anointing. But the point is that how did it come? It was not because, you know, he was, you know, like he gave an offering to Elijah. It was because he was always around Elijah. Elijah's presence was sending something into him that prepared him to be the prophet that God made him to be. I hope you're getting my point here. So when we talk about overcomer spirit, listen. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit by his word flowing into our lives that makes it possible for us to get up, talk in a manner that you, even we ourselves wonder, was that me that spoke? I can assure you, like I was saying earlier, I look around, a lot of people have the loser spirit, the grasshopper spirit. There's a joke flying around, well, it has died and now you know the way it is on WhatsApp. Something will come today, it'll trend for a week and then it'll go down. Well, last week it was flying around. They said, now if white men come with a slave ship, that many Nigerians will run inside. And you know what somebody said? I will bring my chain so that they will not say chain has finished. That is, people have so lost the spirit that really they will sell themselves into slavery. Those days, now, people say country is bad. I don't know. Like I always say, many people say country is bad now. They were not born when country was bad. I was a young man those days when country was very bad. When as a post-NYC medical doctor, my salary was $70 equivalent. $70, if you calculated it, was what I earned as a salary in a month. By international standard, that is living below the poverty line. Because $70 comes to like $2.30 a day. That was poor living. That was how we wanted to finish NYC. But there was something then. I used to, of course, every Nigerian young man, forget doctor, every Nigerian young man wanted to leave the country. Now, I had no problem with traveling abroad. If you give me, like I tell you, I'm not forbid good thing. If you give me tickets, say, come, let's go, I will go with you and come back after 2 days. But that was not the issue. The issue was what people went through to get it, the visas. Now you book your visa online. Then you queued on Eleke Crescent from 2 a.m. for visa interview that will start by 9. People will literally go by 2. The queue has formed. The interview will not start till 9 a.m. Some people were becoming rich, selling interview spot position on the queue. Just wake up early. So you just stand there. After some time, somebody, you want my position? It's 2.5. Which at that time was big. I mean, we earned 6,000 naira a month, so you can understand what 2.5 was. They will give it to them. They will leave the line. And people were doing that. There were all kinds of rackets going on. But there was something I noticed. I said to people, I couldn't understand why anybody did it. I said, I won't stand on the queue to go to America for anybody. Why? What is in your country? Now, this is a man earning $70 a month. What is in your country? I'm not going. I just felt that if God catches me on that queue, you know, God beats people. I hope you know he flogs people. He does. I used to feel that if God catches me on that queue, I'll be in trouble. And I said, listen, what is the word of God? He said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. I will cause the wealth of the nations to flow towards you like an overflowing stream. I believe that. Believe me, I don't understand. I wish you could see my heart. I felt funny that how can a human being take this nonsense? How can you stand on a queue for 5 hours? Is it America, is it heaven they are giving you visa to? It was my attitude. People would do it. Look, I did not spend one kobo to attempt it. It was not worth it for me. One kobo like this, I did not spend. I didn't have any problem with going abroad. You could go abroad and come back, but this hassle, I can only use this hassle to learn the word of God. And I used to do things like that those days. I used to. I told you guys the story. I would leave my house when I was living in India by that time inside Luth. 6 a.m., I'm out of the house. Walk all the way to Mushin. From Mushin, walk, take a bus to Oshodi. Oshodi, take one to Yanakwaja. Yanakwaja, take one to church so I could be there when Bishop Oedipo would start teaching in the morning by 9 o'clock. School of Ministry. No, registration was by 8. I had to be there by 8 for School of Ministry. I could do that. I used to get back home 11 o'clock. Why? First service for School of Ministry, 9 to 11. Second service, 11 to 1. Then we had a break, 1 to 4. Then 4 to 6, 7 to 9. I wouldn't leave the premises. I had nowhere to go. Of course, we needed to sleep. So you take one of these chairs, just put it against the wall, sit on it, put your head down. What will you eat for lunch? It's not a Sprite. I still remember Sprite and biscuit. Buy Sprite and biscuit and sit down. I could go through that stress. Why? I was learning God's word. But I wasn't going to go to the stress because somebody's offering me a visa. God forbid bad thing. God forbid, I wasn't going to go through the stress. Because I just felt that it is forbidden. He said, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. The wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I see these days people are swimming through the Mediterranean Sea to become refugees in Europe. And I say, why? Their spirit is gone. And listen to me. The money they spend, that is the painful part. It's not free. It's not as if you take a bus from here for 200 naira, get to the place and then pay 1,005. They invest up to 1 million naira. More than 1 million naira to get small goods on a bad boat. And weekly, about 150 people, okay, I'm not sure the figures now, but about 150 people die every week. It's like playing Russian roulette. You know what they call a Russian roulette? For those who don't know, let me tell you, it's a normal revolver, a pistol, those ones that the chambers spin. He has 6 chambers. When Russians want to play their dangerous game, they will empty it, put one live bullet inside one, spin it, put it to your head and pull the trigger. And you are betting. Like, you won't try me. The person will take a gun, pow, give it to you. They'll put another one. You spin it, put it to your head to show you a man. That's what they call playing Russian roulette, because 1 out of 6 is a chance that you will die because the gun is to your head. And people die. People play Russian roulette with their own money. It's not free. You pay over 1 million naira. And I wonder, 1 million naira in this country of today, if you know how to invest it, Omo, you don't hammer. I know people that you give that money to in 6 months. Eh? If you say don't eat from it, pay them a salary to be trading with. In 6 months, the money is 10 million. And they can't understand why everybody can't do it. I saw a man those days when I was in Lagos, waiting for a visa like this. For the years I was there seeing him, they say he had been waiting for a visa. For years he was there, he wasn't working, waiting for a visa. That is, they had the loser spirit. This is how you know somebody with a loser spirit. My prosperity is when I get to that place. This is how you know someone with a loser spirit. Why am I not prospering? Somebody has refused to help me. This is how you know somebody with a loser spirit. There's always an explanation outside himself for why things are not working for him. I hear it all the time. I don't even need to tell it because I have many stories. Ah, what is going on? That's my uncle. He has refused to help. One man works in my institution, one of our contractors. He said, look, this business is very good, though. It's just that his brother has refused to settle him. The man talking to me is over 40 years of age. And I'm wondering, you are still waiting for your brother to settle you and you are 40. That his brother has made so much money. But of course, what they now say, that the wife is not a good woman. The wife is not letting him remember the rest of us. Can you believe that? I look at him and I say, oh boy, better face your life. The man that you say has a lot of money, you'll be amazed at how much trouble he has too. Please, I hope you're following my point here. That's why nobody will lose their spirit. They always have something to blame. They've been blaming the economy. And you know, in the same economy, some people are making, they are becoming rich every day. Loser spirit. They say, Buhari, you know, the Buhari is the current problem. Once they open their mouth, it's Buhari. That's the current head of state. Like when we're coming just now, I said, people should stop abusing the man's job. I said, no, they should. It's part of his job to be abused, to collect the insults. Why? When jobless people, loser spirit, are looking for who to blame, God will give them a president. Blame that man. Guaranteed reason why they won't go far. They found somebody to blame. The same people think about it. They blame Jonathan in his days. They blame Yar'Adua for the short time he was in office. They blamed Obasanjo for 8 years. Before that, they were blaming their father. People will sit there and say, my father has not helped me. Tunde Bakare told a story once, very interesting. He said he had from a polygamous home. He has an elder half-brother, okay? The same father, not the same mother. Anytime the man comes to him, please, I need money. Tunde Bakare will give him. God has blessed Tunde Bakare. You know, he can afford that. He will give the man money. The man will come back after some time. I need money. The man will give him. And he said every time he comes, he first tell a story about his life and say, if only my father had not died. He said, because my father died, see how I'm suffering. Why? Because their father died early. Had a number of wives and many children. So each person had to fend for himself. By the way, the Tunde Bakare, when he was telling you stories, those when they first came to Lagos, he used to go from house to house washing clothes, then go back, you know, hang them out. By the time he's finishing washing the last one, the first one should be dry. He will go back and start ironing them. And the day he was telling this story on TV, I was watching him, he pulled one of the deaconesses in the church and said, let's just say, Madam Esther. He pulled her like this, Madam Esther. And she got up and said, did I not used to wash clothes for you and your husband? At that point, the woman was a deaconess in the church. She was their washer boy. He was their washer boy. The washerman that will come to their house to come and wash their clothes. Told the woman in church, didn't I used to wash for you and your husband? And the woman was laughing. Now she's a deaconess in Lateran Assembly. Yeah, you getting my point? So he said that his brother would say, if my father had not died, if only my father had not died. He said one day he couldn't take it anymore. Do you know when he shouted for his elder brother? He said, was that your father, not my own father too? The man, he has such a loser's mindset. He didn't even remember that he's lamenting to somebody who is a son of the same man who died. And for that young man, it was earlier, because Tunde Bakare is younger than him. So you even had the man for longer. Yet you are in my house coming here to complain. My father had not died. If only my father had lived, I won't be suffering like this today. Tunde Bakare pointed to Egbo. We are children of the same father. So the reason why you are poor today is not that your father died. It's because you didn't take advantage of the favors and the grace that God had available for everybody. But with all praise to him, I did. And now he is here complaining to me that the problem is that our father died. And your father died. I see the man was not my father. A loser's mindset. Always having somebody to blame. Talking to a relative one time. Ego Hafa. See, I have talked to Okemute. I'm waiting for him. He has refused to help. By the time he counted like 2-3 names for me, I said, Egbo is enough. Me, I have come to talk with you to help see how we can settle issues. You are here counting for me, and everybody you are counting their names for me, you are older than all of them. You are older by far. And you are sitting down and say, they have refused to help. Loser's mindset. You know, today, yesterday, one of my friends and I were talking. He said, if God gives him the money and the opportunity for his children to go to Harvard, he said he won't send them. Now, I used to say, I will not send for the first degree. And I still mean it. If you come now, if Dangote comes and says, hey, man of God, I hear you are preaching the word. God laid upon my heart. Dangote is our richest man. Money speaking. God laid upon my heart to sponsor all your children to Harvard. I was like, oh God, Dangote, convert it to fuel. She even refinery the bills. Let me drive free of charge. I will not take, God is, I'm not lying. God is my witness. I will not take him up on it. I ain't sending any of my children to Harvard. Not because Harvard is bad, but because it's not in Enugu. That is the problem. It's not in Nigeria. If they open a campus in Abakaliki here, I will send them. It's not too far. If they open a campus in Lagos, I may think about it. But my friend said, even if it is postgraduate, he will not send them there. I didn't have any problem because my own issue was with age and the importance of them being very formed before they leave the environment that God has given us as a blessing in this nation. All right, that was my own issue. But he said, even for postgraduate, he will not send them. And I said, of course, we both agree. I wasn't asking him why, we're discussing. This was his reason. He said, because what we have ended up doing in life is taking God's glory and giving to Harvard. He meant Harvard as a place. That we give it to Harvard. That people that God will bless, people that God will pour grace upon and do mighty things through, they want to go to Harvard. And when they come out of Harvard and they succeed, everybody ascribes their success that they went to Harvard. He said it is robbing God what we are doing, taking his glory and giving to Harvard. He said, so if his children, if they have opportunity, they say they are not going anywhere. He said, what is it? Why can't we just demonstrate that God can do things without those people, without that institution? And I said to him, I said, listen, oh boy, I agree with what you're saying. I said, right now, the glory of Harvard is not in their quality anymore. People don't realize it. It's in the quality of the people that are coming. Harvard will come, take the brightest. They give you the most difficult exams and take the best of the best. For you to even think about going to Harvard, you must be very good. And amongst those that are very good, they take the best of the very good. And then they will now come out being very good. They now pretend as if they made the people. No, you didn't make them. They were good before they went there. Those same people sitting in their sitting rooms could have become anything. Talking to a sister this morning, I said, listen, something I led to it. We're just discussing some issues. I said, my dear sister, Mary Kay Ash, according to Mike Murdoch, I'm not a personal witness, but Mike Murdoch said, Mary Kay Ash is studied in Harvard Business School. Mary Kay Ash did not go to a business school. She never stepped near the walls of one. She was a hustling woman all the days of her, all her days until she retired, a marketer, a saleswoman for Stanley Home Products. Then she wrote a book on how marketing should be done. And she said to herself, nobody will read it because she has not produced anything to prove that the stuff works. She said, okay, let me prove it. So she started a cosmetic company. She was not into cosmetics. She was just into any product. And she remembered there was one cosmetic that her friend's father developed. So she went and got the stuff and packaged it and all of that and began to market it. And she became a billionaire. She became a billionaire. Once I was reading, they gave her one particular school in the United States, said she's the female entrepreneur, number one female entrepreneur in the United States for the last century. They gave Henry Ford the male one. After they analyzed everybody that came, now listen, big men had come, and they say Henry Ford is number one. Big women had come and gone, and they said it's Mary Kay Ash. She's a case study in the top business schools in the world. And she never went near a business school. Now you pay top money to study her. Who told you that God has stopped doing such things? Went to preach in Lagos the other day for a man. You know, I like to tell this story. The man who one of the days, I was there for a few days. So I think the second or third day, he said, man of God, tomorrow we'll go in the limo. He drove me in a limousine to church. Personal car. It's his personal car. He's a man of God. Tomorrow we'll go in the limousine. And listen, he didn't buy it from being a pastor. He's a businessman. Pastoring is something he does on the side. So it's not tithes and offerings gathered to that level. When they were coming to pick me from the airport, they came in two nice vehicles, a Tundra and a Hummer. So, but that's not the issue. When I tell him that the Rolls Royce refused to start. That he told the men to go and pick me with a Rolls Royce. And I said, it is God that said you shouldn't start. Because if you have been, normal, look at me now. Do I look like a man? And Lagos Airport, I just parked. I will now walk to a Rolls Royce. I said, thank God, sir. I said, sir, thank God it did not start. Now, I'm going somewhere. We talked a lot. He told me a lot about himself and all of that. Then he said something. At a point in time, I asked him something. He said, no. That I don't do much reading. I listen more. He said that he rather listens to messages than because it's a book I was recommending. He wanted if they had this on, on audio, that would prefer it. He now said, I told you I didn't go to school. He said, I stopped in primary 6. Now, did you get that? He told me something. He said there was only 1 year all his life was doing business. Like he lost money. He said that year he lost 50 million naira many years ago. And he was in the red for 150 because he had made expenditure of 100 million, expecting to make that amount of money. So that year, but something went wrong. Now listen to the point. He said, I had 4 chartered accountants working for me at that point. They couldn't trace how we lost the money. 4 chartered accountants working for a man that finished in primary 6. He said it wasn't because I was dull, just because there was no money to go further. So they took me to where I would learn a trade. They took him to the mechanic workshop. He said why he refused to do that one was that the ogre, the boss of the workshop, came out to see them and he was dirty. And he asked himself, if ogre is this dirty, what will happen to the boys? He said no. As a little boy, he said, no, I'm not doing. That was the reason he refused to be a mechanic. Took him to another place. Finally, took him to the market to go and learn in a shop. He said he preferred that one. Started working, living in the shop. And when we're talking, he said, the only year I've lost money, I lost 50 million. Not today. Not if it's today's money to be, I'm talking 200 million, maybe. And he said, I told you I didn't go beyond primary 6. He said once he went to teach in some academies, academy, leadership academy. They invited him to come and teach, so he was speaking. So along the line, he dropped it that I didn't go beyond primary 6. Everybody like, what? So he now told me, he said, it looks like that fact is not a big thing. No? That looks like, now what was he trying to say? God is taking glory. Harvard can't collect it. I didn't come near their campus. Nobody can collect the glory. I didn't go near their campus. But those with losers' mindset, this country, nobody can make it in this country. The same people will be telling you Dangote is the richest man, the African black man in the world. Nobody can make it into this country. Listen to me. It's a lie. What did I say? It's a lie. Every day, they say, what I see young people go through to go abroad sometimes, it makes me sad. I said, if you use the same energy in this country of today, my brother, God will be compelled to dispatch 2 special angels to prosper you. He'll be compelled. The worst thing that Satan has done is to remove people's spirit. Open your Bibles. Numbers chapter 13.